Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Really excited about celebrations that are coming up, and I want you to ensure that you are there. Do not miss for anything in the world. You know what God has done over the last 40 years is worth celebrating. What God has done is worth celebrating. So don't miss the party. Don't miss the celebrations. Don't miss any of the events. Make sure that you are there. You know, one of the awesome things that our God has done is that He has allowed us to connect with many ministries around the world, and He has allowed us to step into rooms and bring the voice from the Watoto family into that room. And the vision that God has given to us is really a blessing. As many watch from a distance at what God has literally done over the last 40 years as He brings healing and hope to many broken lives, individuals, cities, and nations. This last week, the Watoto worship team was in Turkey. There's a church planting conference, and Watoto worship was given the privilege of leading worship throughout that conference. And I gotta tell you, you must be proud of your worship team here, Watoto. They did a phenomenal job. Pastors Graham and Sheila led the team. Some of the guys who are on stage today actually leading us in worship were part of the team. It was fantastic. And when we pray that God give us songs of worship that are going to be a blessing to people around the world, that are going to inspire a culture of worship that goes beyond the four walls of the buildings in which we meet, it is already happening. You know, in one of the sessions, we sang the song, Send Us, Send Us. And that song captured the hearts of the church leaders. There's about 150 church leaders gathered, leaders across the Assemblies of God, of which we are a part. We're part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God here in Uganda. And globally, we are part of the Assemblies of God. And they have an audacious dream. Currently, there is around 400,000 Assemblies of God churches. The dream within the next 9 years is to plant 600,000 churches to reach 1 million churches that are touching people around the earth. And we want to be a part of that. And so, Watoto family, I want you to know we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. God is connecting us so that we can truly be a part of bringing healing to the cities and the nations. And whenever you pray, remember to pray for Watoto Church, but remember to pray for the body of Christ around the world. Our awesome God wants to do some things again. Like we said, Lord, we have heard of your fame and we stand in awe of your deeds. But our prayer is, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. It has taken 110 years to plant 400,000 churches. We're believing in the next 9 years, 600,000 churches. Our awesome God is going to do it again and again and again. And not just for Watoto, but for you and your family. If you receive it, say amen in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we are so excited. We are so happy when we think about how you've planted us here to be a part of something that is a God vision, that is a God work. We don't take it for granted. We know that each of us have a part to play. Lord, I pray, repeat these things in our day. May you pour your spirit out upon us and use us in these last days to bring healing and hope as we touch people with your love. As we turn to your word, I pray that you will speak to us. Transform us by the power of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, and amen. Wonderful. Well, over the last number of weeks, we've been focusing on the family. I've been talking about family because it is so critical. God wants to walk through our families to bring healing to the cities and the nations. Regardless of the state of your family, I want you to know that God has a beautiful purpose and plan for your family. And God wants to build your family to be strong, healthy, and happy. And as we've been focusing on the family, we've been talking about God's heart for every man. We've been focusing on the men. Because you see, men, you are so critical to what God wants to do in your family. Men, you are the key. God wants to work in you and through you to build families that are strong, healthy, and happy. Families that are bringing healing to the cities and the nations. And so it's so critical that you go back over these messages again and again until you hide this word in your heart and begin to live by it and allow God to transform you so that you may bring healing to your families. You are the key. Men today are bashed all around the world. We don't want to join the bashing chorus. We want to encourage you. You are God's man in your family. And God wants to use you. God wants to work through you. So, make sure that you not only hear what has been preached, but you live according to what has been preached. And you begin to experience healing in your family. Today we are rounding up our series on God's heart for every man. We are bringing it to an end. And here's how we're going to close today. God's heart for every man is that you will be equipped for battle so that you and your family will flourish in Jesus' name. God's heart for every man is that you will be equipped for battle so that you may win the battle, so that your family and the generations coming after will be blessed in Jesus' name. When we talk about a battle, we're talking about a sustained fight. It's not a one-off. It is a sustained fight against an adversary, an enemy who has set out to destroy you. And I want you to know, my brother, that every morning when you get up, you are engaged in battle. It is a battle for your family. It is a battle for your children. It is a battle for the vision that the Lord has placed in your heart. It is a battle for the work that He has given you to do so that you may be productive and provide for your family. It is a battle for your heart. It is a battle for your soul. It is a battle for the third and fourth generation. You know, so many battles have been fought across history. And yesterday I was just taking time to just read about some of those battles. And they took me back to my A-levels, where I studied history. And I also studied political science at the university. So I studied a lot of these battles. And one of them is the Battle of Waterloo. Some of you remember that history, paper 3, Ugandan A-levels, European history. And all those who studied European history said, I hope it is helping you to change the world. They learnt nothing and forgot nothing. The Battle of Waterloo. It is the battle that brought Napoleon down. I mean, he had so much power and influence. He was conquering nation after nation. But in the battle at Waterloo, 1815, which is now Belgium, it was in that place that everything came crashing down. He was defeated. And that battle, after Napoleon was defeated, meant freedom for many nations. Suddenly nations would be a sovereign state, and their people would enjoy life in their land. So many battles have been fought. Every nation on the earth has a story of battles they have fought or battles they are fighting. You know what? In the very same way, every man you see is engaged in a battle. Every man. And Apostle Paul understood the battle because he faced this battle daily. And so when he writes to the church in Ephesus, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 in our Bibles, he talks about the battle strategy that we must all adopt. Listen, my brother, this battle strategy is for you. Listen, grandfather, this battle strategy is for you. Every single man, this battle strategy is for you. And don't just catch it, pass it on to your sons, because this battle strategy is for them. And winning the battle means that your family will be strong, healthy, and happy. Winning the battle means that the generations that come after you will be blessed. And so Paul writes about this battle strategy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Everyone say full armor. Come on, shout it out. Say full armor. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because listen, the day of evil will come. You may not know the day, but it will come. He says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Why? Because you are not alone in this battle. We are in this battle together. Men, you are not alone in this battle. Every brother is going through this battle. Every man faces this battle daily. And so when we read these verses in Ephesians 6, Apostle Paul shows us who our real enemy is. But he also gives us the strategies to overcome him. God's heart for every man is that you are equipped for this battle so that you and your family flourish. Paul teaches us four things that we must know about the battle. Number one, we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. We read it in verse 11, the second part of it. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our enemy is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, that evil lying spirit. And the enmity between Satan and man goes way back to the Garden of Eden, when he shows up disguised as a serpent and he tricks Eve and Adam to sin against God by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil after God had told them not to eat. And when man fell into sin, God stepped into the picture. Of course, he punished man for disobeying him. But he also pronounced a curse on Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, not only did God declare that curse, he then speaks hope for man against Satan. He said, there'll be enmity between you, Satan, and the seed of the woman. God said that Satan would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would crush his head. We know that the seed of the woman who would crush the head of Satan was Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that while Jesus hung on the cross, Satan thought to himself, I have you exactly where I want you. And yet, God was way ahead of Satan. Satan didn't know that he played into God's hands and fulfilled God's salvation plan. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 and the verses that follow, the Bible says that while Jesus hung on that cross and paid the penalty for our sin, every legal charge that Satan had against you and I, Jesus took upon himself. And that while Jesus hung on that cross, he made a public spectacle of the enemy triumphing over him on the cross. And after 3 days, the Son of God, Jesus, rose from the dead and he crushed the head of Satan. But that doesn't stop our enemy from coming after us. My brother, I want you to know that Satan hates you. Satan despises you. He hates God's plan for your life. He hates your family. He hates everything about you. And he wants to bring you down. Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 10 said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is for you and not against you, my brother. You have an enemy. It is important that you recognize that. But you must also recognize that you're not on the losing side. In Jesus, we have victory over Satan. In Jesus, we have victory over Satan, and our families can walk in that victory. But that victory is only available to those who've given their hearts to Jesus. Outside of Jesus, you're fighting the battle against Satan on your own. I want to encourage you, my brother. Don't walk around oblivious of the fact that you have an enemy. We have a real enemy. But thanks be to God, we have victory over him in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's setting traps for you. Don't foolishly walk into the traps. Be alert. Be of sober mind. We have a real enemy. That's the first thing you must understand about the battle. The second thing that you need to understand is that our battle is spiritual. In verse 12, Paul said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Yes, we have battles in our families. We fight one another as siblings. Sometimes siblings try to kill other siblings. It happened in the very first family. Cain killed Abel. Sometimes there are issues between parents and children. You don't want to see one another. You don't even want to talk to one another. Issues among relatives. In our families, there'll be issues between us and another family. And sometimes those battles are expressed in the courts of law or in some other things that are done. Some people engage in witchcraft. I mean, people, it gets ugly. But I want you to know, your enemy is not your father. Your enemy is not your uncle. Your enemy is not your big brother or your cousin brother. Your enemy is not your wife or your son or your daughter or your cousin. Your enemy is not your grandparent. The Bible tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Yes, your husband cheated on you. Yes, your husband left you. Yes, your father wasn't there for you. Yes, your relative abused you. Yes, they didn't support you. They talked you down and they discouraged you. They didn't give you an opportunity. They didn't back you up. But your enemy is not your family. The thing behind the thing is the thing. It is the devil who hates you, who is orchestrating all the chaos in your family so that he can bring you down. So your real battle is against the spirit of lust. Your real battle is against greed and envy, jealousy and pride. Your real battle is against witchcraft. Your real battle is against anger and bitterness. That is what is causing the real issue. The devil is behind the scenes, doing everything he can to get to you, my brother. And so don't just engage in a physical battle. You engage in a spiritual battle. We take the battle where the enemy is. The good thing is, the one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The one who is in us is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, my brother, I want to encourage you. You are more than a conqueror. We sang it today. You are not a victim. You are a victor. I tell you, when you get up every day, you are a problem for the devil. Take the battle to the enemy. Oh, I tell you, the battle is not against your father. Did he fail you? Yes, he did. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. But I tell you, it is the devil that has been working against you. But thanks be to God, we have victory over him in Jesus' name. We are not going to fight here. We are taking the battle in the spirit. Because what we do not see is more real than what we see. And the God that we have not seen with our own eyes is more real and giving us real victories in Jesus' name. And when we win in the spirit, it will simply take shape in our families. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? how are you going to engage in a spiritual battle in the flesh? You cannot. See, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. My prayer is that you will understand that, and that as you take the battle to the enemy, divorce in your family will come crumbling down. Alcoholism will be broken in Jesus' name. Sexual immorality will be no more in your family in Jesus' name. That depression and suicide will get out of your family in Jesus' name. Diseases that you don't understand, that doctors cannot even seem to understand, that God will just break some things in Jesus' name. Take the devil not just in the physical, but to the spiritual. And the Spirit of God is available to all who are born again to fight the battle at that level. And yet the good thing is, the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. The third thing you must understand about the battle is this. We must armor up. My brother, you must armor up. You cannot go naked into the battle. You cannot go weaponless into the battle. You'll be beaten down. The enemy that we're standing against is very cunning. But the Lord has given us weapons of warfare that are mighty in him. Praise the Lord. You see, if we do not armor up, we shall be weak and lose the battle. But if we want to flourish, we must armor up. We must be ready for battle. Ephesians 6, 13 to 17 says, put on the full armor of God, not some, but the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because you cannot know when it comes. You may be looking at another family and saying, you know what, that husband and wife are always fighting. And I'm telling you, it's really bad. You know, it looks like they're going to divorce. You just never know when that will be at your doorstep. You say that family, they never agree. They're always in court. They're fighting. It's now land. The other day it was this. You never know when that battle will come to your doorstep. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth is so powerful. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot know truth outside of Jesus. And the Bible says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The belt of truth. What is the true state of affairs? Because when you embrace truth, you see things the way God sees them. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, you see, because you're born again, you have right standing with God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Positionally, you are now right with God. When God looks at you, he sees his son and daughter, and he goes to war on your behalf. But you see, righteousness is not just that I was born again. No, righteousness comes from daily obedience to Christ. When you choose to obey Christ, that is victory over the enemy. Amen. When you say, I will not cheat, I will be faithful to my wife, you have won the battle. I will not watch pornographic material, you've won the battle. I'll not allow cash to rule everything around me. I'll allow only Christ to rule everything about me. You're winning the battle. Righteousness comes from daily obedience, and that obedience is what brings the victory. He talks about your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You see, the gospel of peace not only brought peace between God and man, it brought peace between man and man. You know, believers must be the greatest peacemakers. Some of us are the most chaotic people in our families. Brothers, stop being chaotic. Blessed are the peacemakers. He says, take up the shield of faith. Faith causes you not to give up. It causes you to trust in God. And those who put their trust in God will never be put to shame. It says, take the helmet of salvation. You see, when you're saved, you are on the winning side. You're on God's side. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you stand on God's word, his word can never return to him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it. When you pray and you say, God, by the stripes of your blood, we are healed. And then you begin to stand on that word and pray against things that your family does not understand. They begin to break and healing comes. These weapons are mighty in God and they give you victory over the enemy. They give you advantage. But finally, the last thing you must understand about the battle is this. We must pray consistently. Prayer is so key, man of God. In that family, see, you are the gatekeeper for your family. You are the gatekeeper for your family. How do you keep the gates for your family? How do you keep the gates for the generation? It's when you get on your knees and you lift up your hands and you acknowledge your limitedness. But you say, God, you are limitless. Go to war for me. Fight this battle for me. And as long as you call on the name of the Lord, victory will come your way in Jesus' name. You must pray consistently. See, when we are prayerless, we are weak. Prayer will do a couple of things. It will deepen your intimacy with the Lord. And that means if you're walking intimately with the Lord, you will hear him and you will follow his lead. Prayer will purify your heart's motives and align your heart with God's heart. And it will be, Lord, let your will be done. And because it purifies your heart before God, as you lean towards God and all he wants and desires from you, the enemy finds it hard to have a grip of your heart and of your soul. But prayer allows us to tap into the Spirit's power, because we need divine power for this spiritual battle. We read in verse 18, and praying the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Praying in the Spirit means you pray by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? He will lead you. You say, God, there's this issue that has just lasted. I don't understand why generation after generation after generation, this alcohol has a grip on us. Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to you things. And then you begin to pray accurately and deal with the issue from the root and defeat the enemy. Praying in the Spirit is also that God gives us a prayer language. When we pray in tongues, our minds might not understand, but we are praying the will of God. And in that place, the devil is confused because you've gone one above him. He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Why? Because what God wants to do in your family, he wants to do in many other families. So just don't only pray for your husband. Don't only pray for your brother and your father. Remember to pray for all the families across Watoto Church. And pray that our awesome God will do something in that family again. God is so faithful. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. As we round up this series, your heart for every man is that we'll be equipped for battle, well equipped, so that we may win this battle. And with you on our side, we will win. Some days we might sense that we are weak, but when we are weak, you are strong and you're fighting for us. And we thank you that as we put on the full armor of God, we'll see victory upon victory upon victory in Jesus' mighty name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place. You say, Brian, I've not given my heart to Jesus. I'm not born again. But I know that I'm far from God and I want God to do something in my life. I want to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want Jesus to wash me clean in his blood. I want him to save me and to break the power of Satan and sin over my life. I want to be born again. And my brother, my sister, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Whether you're here in person, joining us online or on air, Jesus loves you. When you surrender your life to Him, He'll forgive you of your sin, fill you with His Spirit, and lead you into a life of victory in the battle against Satan. But it starts when you recognize your need for a Savior and surrender your life to Jesus, because He's the only one who saves. With every eye closed, you say, "Brian, that's me." Just lift up your hand wherever you are. You say, "Brian, that's me. I give my life to Jesus." Just lift up your hand. Jesus loves you and He will never push you away. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand wherever you are, upstairs, downstairs. You say, "Brian, that's me. I give my life to Jesus." Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. Upstairs, God bless you. Keep that hand lifted up to Jesus. Jesus saves. Thank you. Downstairs, Jesus sees that hand. Is there anybody else? You say, "Jesus, save me today. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God." Just lift up your hand. It is a simple prayer, but it will change the course of history for you and your family. My brother, my sister, lift up your hand. You're joining us online. You say, "Brian, I want to give my heart to Jesus." Lift up an emoji of a hand and type, "I give my life to Jesus." Do it right now. You may feel afraid, but go ahead and do it right now. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. You're joining us on air. You say, "Brian, I want to give my heart to Jesus." Lift up your hand in that room. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is in that room with you. Lift up your hand. Here in person, you say, "Brian, I want to give my heart to Jesus." Lift up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is the best decision, most important decision you'll make any day of your life. Give your heart to Jesus. Some of you are saying, "Brian, I want to recommit my life to Jesus." Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. Some of you are saying, "Brian, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm coming back. I'd lost my way. I'd gone back into sin. But enough is enough. I don't want to give the devil a foothold in my life. I want Jesus to be in charge of my life." You want to recommit your life? Lift up your hand as well. Lift up your hand. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand right at the back. God bless you. You're saying, "I want to recommit my life to Jesus." Lift up your hand. Say, "Jesus, I'm coming back. I resurrender my life to you." Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. Do it right now, my brother, my sister. You're joining us online. Lift up your hand. Say, "I recommit my life." Lift up an emoji of a hand and type, "I recommit my life to Jesus." You're joining us on air. Say, "I recommit my life." Lift up your hand as well. Jesus cares about you. Is there anybody else? You say, "Brian, that's me." Lift it real high to Jesus. The best decision you'll ever make. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you now. You've lifted up your hand. Here's what I want you to do. Would you pray this prayer after me and mean it from the bottom of your heart? And as you pray this prayer, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Pototo family, let's all pray together and encourage our brothers and sisters who are making this commitment right now. Let's all pray together, everyone praying, "Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life." In Jesus' name, come on, let's clap hands together and say amen right there. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, here in person, a friend of mine is going to reach out to you, so excited that you made that decision to give your heart to Jesus. We want to walk the journey with you, so do connect with that friend of mine at the end of the service. You're joining us online, that link is for you. Click it. Let us know your name, your number. Why? We want to walk the journey with you so that you may grow to follow Jesus with all of your heart. Online, send us a quick email, connect@wototochurch.com. It's so important to us that we hear from you. We want to help you grow as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. One more time, shall we clap hands and celebrate every miracle of salvation?
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.